170 in our hymn book. 170. Saved by the blood. 170. Let's stand together. 170. Let's sing together. 170. Saved by the blood. Can't leave here without singing this, How Great Thou Art. 801. We'll do all four stanzas. Let's do the third verse a cappella, third verse a cappella. Oh, Lord, my God, I am a sovereign. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
This last session, so I have been wrestling all afternoon about what the Lord would have me to do. Anybody else relate with that? Any preachers ever relate with that? And I had two different sessions that I was going back and forth between, And I feel like the Lord keeps changing that. And so I don't know who this is for specifically. And this may not be for a lot. But I believe the Lord would have us to go to Hebrews 11. And so if you'd go there with me, Hebrews 11. Yeah, there you go, if we have time. Hebrews 11, well, actually, I was wrestling between two, and the Lord said C, third choice. So this, every man that has been ever used of God can look back at a time in his life and can tell you, it was this point when I, maybe on his knees, maybe with tears streaming, maybe it was in the back of a squad car, but he said, all right, Lord, I'm done running my own way, and you can have me. And every man of God through history that has been used of God, there have been breaking moments, key breaking moments, where their own flesh, their own pride were crucified, as it were, so that the greater glory of God could flow. And any man who has ever walked the journey of laying all before him and saying, Father, you can have all of me, any man who's experienced that will tell you, I would never go back and change that. That was the most precious days of my life. I gave a brief synopsis of my testimony back last night, but that night when I came in as a freshman into Bible college wrestling, I wanted to be a police officer. That's what I thought. I just thought that was that heroic leader, carry a gun and shoot people. I don't know. It just looked like that just seemed like something that was, I don't know, I watched too much Chuck Norris probably is what it was, but that's what I wanted to be, and yet God had been calling me, he had been calling me since a boy to be a preacher, and I remember the night when the evangelist preached, and I responded and went to the back, and I sat with the counselor, and some of you have very similar testimonies or like this, as I sat with the counselor, and the counselor said, why did God bring you to this Bible college? And I said, I'm here for 4 years, because God wants me to be here for 4 years and be an evangelist. And he says, so what are you going to do with that? I said, not a chance. And he would not let me go. And for 2.5 hours, we sat in that counseling room. Because he told me later, he said, I just knew that if I let you go, you were going to walk your own path, and the Spirit of God wouldn't let me. And as I wrestled back and forth, he's pleading with me the glories of surrender to Christ. And 2.5 hours later, I finally said, Lord, I am done fighting you. If you want me, I will be a preacher. That cost, that price that I paid that day, today I would say, yes, it was painful that one day, but I would not go back to change that at all. I lost friends because of it. I lost influence in certain circles because of it. Some people to this day look down their nose at me because I'm not in their in crowd any longer. But I wouldn't change that for anything. And the question I want to ask here this last session is, have you yet counted the cost? Have you counted the cost of what it would take to surrender all to Christ? To say, I'm not saying to say, Lord, I'll be perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But for you to take your life as you know it, your career, the money you're hoping to make, your retirement, what you want your job to be, all of that, and you lay that before the Father and you say, Father, my hands are off. Do whatever you would do. Lord, if that means taking me, if it means taking my family, Lord, if it means putting me in the ministry, sending me to the mission field, Lord, if it means a job change or a move, whatever it means, but Father, I'm done fighting you. You can have me. Have you counted yet the cost? Because if you choose not to yield all of you to the Father, there is somebody else that would like to allure you, and he also charges a price. And if you will not pay the price of surrender for Christ, it will still cost you. I want you to look with me in Hebrews 11, starting in verse 23, and we see a man, a young man, that the scripture tells us. He is in this chapter because by faith, not feeling it, not knowing what the future looked like, but by faith, a young man made a choice. Verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. And then the chapter continues on to talk about other men. But these verses right there, in those seven verses, that gives us a glimpse into the man Moses. We all know his story, likely. But the scripture helps us see that Moses' cost, the price he paid to walk with God, started first because his parents paid a price. In verse 23, the scripture says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and were not afraid of the king's commandment. There was a commandment, there was an edict that was given by Pharaoh because of fear and because of insecurity. He chose that if there's a male child born to the Israelite people, the male child is to be murdered. Sounds familiar. It's always the master stroke of the devil. It's happening in our country today. And a mother and a father, they had this boy, and the scripture says they saw that he was a proper child, and that's the idea of a beautiful child. And it would almost seem like they looked at him and said, wow, he's a good-looking baby, I guess we'll keep him. That's not exactly what's happening here. There seems to be, some scholars believe that this seems to be indicating that there was a sense of destiny in this child, where they recognized there's something more here. And so choosing to be disobedient to government because of being obedient to God, knowing that there would be wrath from the king, the parents chose, it doesn't matter how we get chewed out and it doesn't matter what it is going to cost us, we will not murder our son and we will keep this son. Moses is now, if you know the story, Moses is put in a little basket. He's put in the water. Pharaoh's daughter finds him there. And that whole story is Moses is rescued from the water. He's trained in Pharaoh's household. Look at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What we see here is that there came a point in Moses' life when he came of age. We don't know how old that is necessarily, but old enough where he came to a point in his understanding where he came to a crossroads and he knew, I have to make a decision. I either stay with Egypt and stay in Pharaoh's household and I get to experience all the pleasures of Egypt, all that money can buy, anything that a woman could offer me, all the fame, the superiority, and the power. Anything that any man's human heart longs for, Moses had at his fingertips. He had the promiscuity, the sensuality if he wanted it. He had the alcohol if he wanted it. He had the servants if he wanted it. He had the brand new 2024 chariot if he wanted it. You see what I'm saying? He had everything. Put that in our context. This is like the young man that he's a young entrepreneur and he's just hit it big and doors are opening before him and he has opportunities. Maybe he's got athletic ability and he's just been offered the big contract in the big leagues or now this businessman is coming and saying, I can make you wealthy if you just join. And it's like that young man who has opportunities all in front of him and the Spirit of God comes knocking and says, I'm calling you to preach. And the scripture says that Moses, recognizing what he was up, when he came to years, he chose. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Men, does sin have pleasure? It does, doesn't it? If anybody says sin doesn't have pleasure, they're lying to you. Sin has pleasure. It always feels good for a little bit of time. And then what happens after the sin is finished? James describes it as being like death in your soul. So here's my question. Would you rather live with the constant feeling, the nagging feeling of death in your soul, gravel in your mouth, like you've been kicked in the gut, or would you rather sacrifice pleasure now so that you could walk with God? The scripture says there in verse 26, he counted it valuable that the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, what he is saying is, he looked with his spiritual eye and said, there's a reward coming. And there's a person coming, my Redeemer. And I believe that that will be worth more. The price that I pay in earth, on earth now, and the status that I lose and the pleasure that I miss out on, I view that as not worth anything compared to my Redeemer. And following and serving Him, identifying with the reproaches of Christ, is far worth it. Far more better. That's not good English. That's better. Thanks, brother. So here's my very simple question. Have you counted the cost? It costs something to follow Christ. Adoniram Judson, a man who was brilliant, and yet God called him to Burma. C.T. Studd, a professional cricket player, and yet God called him to preach. James Stewart, a professional soccer player. And yet there on the field, God's hand was so heavy upon James Stewart, he could not play another match until he surrendered to Christ, and he shook all of Europe with his preaching. James Frazier, a brilliant engineer, but could get no satisfaction by his intellectual abilities, and God would send him to the Lisu people of China. And before he died, he saw over a thousand Lisu families come to Christ. Today, James Frazier and C.T. Studd and Jimmy Stewart are in heaven rejoicing with scores of people around the throne of Christ. But there is also many men who have been called of God and chose to disobey. And today, some are burning in hell. Others, yes, they may have trusted Christ, but their life is a legacy of wreckage. There was a young man, and I'm not going to get the year exactly right. There was a young man that you would all know that went to camp every summer. It was not a Baptist camp. But he went to an Assembly of God camp, if I remember correctly. Went to a camp every summer, memorized verses, tons of verses. His dad was a preacher, or at least very religious. And yet this young man, when he joined the army, discovered that he had a talent and an ability with his voice. And Elvis Presley chose to resist everything that he had been given and became America's first rock star. Now, there are some that believe maybe Elvis Presley was saved, and of course, you know, he's like Johnny Cash. He recorded a gospel album, so that probably makes him saved, right? I don't know, and I don't think so necessarily. Is Elvis Presley saved? I don't know. But if he is, he is there with very little rewards. And if he is not, he is burning in hell, though to this day people still sing his praise. The cost was not worth it. Here's my question to us as older men. Is there anyone here that maybe God has been dealing with you and he has been saying, when you are at work, you are still ashamed of the name of Christ? And yes, you've made money. And yes, you have buddies. But none of them know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And someday, friends, we are going to get to eternity and we are going to see the opportunities that we missed, and it is going to grieve us. And so God is giving you an opportunity now. Would you be willing to take the reproach of Christ because God has greater for you? Maybe there is a young man in this room that God has been impressing upon you, give me your life, give me your heart, and you've been wrestling and you've been fighting and you've resisted paying the price. And what have far too many men in the pew done? They said, Lord, I'm going to do a little bit of Christ on Sunday, and then I'm going to do a little bit of what I want on Monday, and Lord, I'll do a little bit of Christ next Sunday, and for the rest of my career, I'll do me. And then when they get to the place where their children have grown and have left the home and none of them are in church, that broken man begins to say, what did I miss? There was a time where you were not willing as a young man to count the price, count the cost. And if the cost of following Christ seems too high, have you considered what it would cost you if you don't follow Christ? Yes, Christ has a price. To follow Christ, there is a cost, but hell's price is far higher. The devil's price is far more, and his interest only rises, and the inflation is all on the devil's side. He keeps asking for more, and he keeps taking more, and he never pays in return. Whereas your Savior and mine, any price that he has asked me to pay, he will reward greatly and far exceedingly more than anything I've ever given him. My plea, men, is have you paid the price? Have you counted the cost? Would there be a young man that would be willing to say, Father, I'm done. I'm done fighting for my own way. You can have all of me. Would there be an older man that would say, Father, I want you to have all of me. Lord, you can call me wherever you want me to. Lord, you can take me anywhere you want to take me. Father, I'm giving you permission. I'm giving you the keys to my life, and you can touch any area that you'd like. Lord, I want to know you. There in verse 27, the scripture says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. What I have found multiple times, and I think many men here have experienced, is when you choose to obey Christ, you're going to make somebody mad. And sadly, sometimes the person you make mad is another Christian. But I do believe there is a dying process that you go through in that the Lord is saying, is it just you and me? Or is it you, me, and as long as everybody else thinks this is a good decision? I'm not suggesting that you do things, make dumb decisions just so you can feel like it's just you and God. But there are times when your father-in-law is going to say, what? Well, you're taking my daughter to where? When a pastor says, but I had other plans for you. He said, there may be wrath, but Father, I must obey you. And that last phrase of verse 27, seeing, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The New Testament talks about God being the one who cannot be seen with physical eyes. He is invisible. But because of our understanding of who he is, looking forward unto him, we make earthly visible decisions based upon what is invisible and what we are looking towards and for. So are you living, men, for what is visible? Or are you living for what is invisible but eternal? Everything we see here that is visible will be gone someday. But everything that is invisible what is inside of you, your spirit, your soul, that I can't see, that is what is eternal. So are you living for the almighty dollar, or are you living for the riches in heaven? Are you living for the kingdom of God, or are you living for your kingdom? Have you paid the price? Have you counted the cost? Men, that is the simple message this afternoon. And I don't know who it's for, but I beg of you, I plead with you, that if there is a young man or if there is an old man that you're still holding on to something, and God's put his finger on it, and you say, I can't tell anybody, I can't let them know, I'll lose reputation. You're living for the devil's paycheck. Would you take the first step today to go to another brother, to go to your pastor and say, I got to get this in the open? There's a young man that needs to surrender all, and you say, Father, you can have all of me. I'm giving you all the keys. Would you do that? Christ, there is a cost to paying to following Christ. But the cost that is paid for following the devil or simply living in apathy is far higher. And I beg of you, would you as Moses, based upon the goodness of God and what he has promised, who our Redeemer is, would you this afternoon be willing to surrender all to Christ?